going to be judged, etc. But these are things that have motivated us to keep reaching out, even though we might not get the response we want today, just to realize we're serving Jesus when we are around non-believers. So, now, here's what happens. I see it in America. We look at the crowds, but our hearts don't break. We look at non-believers, and we just say, well, it's too bad. You know, I don't know, what can I do? I'm not Pastor Jerry. You know, we paid Jerry to lead people to Christ and to feed us, but that's his job, it's not mine. But Jesus says it's a little bit different than that. Because when Jesus saw the crowds, his heart broke. And he saw people so confused and aimless they were, like sheep without a shepherd. So he said, this is from the Message, different than what we read from the Gospel this morning. But what a huge harvest, he said to his disciples, how few workers. Pray, get on your knees and pray for harvest hands. And somehow this picture really fits you all probably more than it did me. I was not raised on a farm, but in farmers' talk, as we've talked to farmers, boy, it's really nice to have a few extra hands or extra machines or whatever. What Jesus is saying is this harvest is absolutely abundant, and it's about people. But they are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and they need somebody to go to them with the word of God. And it's interesting, he says, pray. Get on your knees and pray for people. And that would be a heart concern wherever we go, that we would be praying for God to raise up laborers to be thrown out into his harvest. Be willing to take the gospel. Now, again, what's really interesting, as we look at strangers in our world today, and I thought I'm going to use this term because that's what, you know, we like to be around people we're comfortable with, right? We really do. But, you know, when this person comes into our life that's a little bit different, maybe they speak, have a little bit of an accent, maybe they're from a Hispanic background, maybe they're from Europe, whatever it is, we kind of do this. But what I'm seeing in the States now regarding Islam is this humongous difference. And here's what I see happening. Usually, a person is on one end of this spectrum, either over here saying, you know, let's fight these guys. So kind of in the flesh, I've heard Christian Americans say, why don't we just nuke them all? Seriously. And I thought, really? But that's one extreme way out here, acting in the flesh. But then I've seen a whole nother extreme over here, which is responding out of fear. Well, we don't understand them, and we're really worried because they do cut off heads, don't they? And they do have another religion, don't they? So that when you're at Sam's Club or you're at the grocery store, Hy-Vee, and you see this person that has a veil, or you hear these guys talking with this, how did you say it, Jerry? The guttural sounds?
Rough breathing?
Yeah. Or whatever. Instead of going down this aisle, you kind of go over here and you just go down this aisle. Because you're fearful. And you just avoid them. Okay, those are natural responses to act in the flesh or act in fear. But Jesus has another solution, doesn't he? He says we should do what? We need to walk by faith. And what his word is saying is the harvest is plentiful. People are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They need you and me to come alongside of them and say, you know, there's another way I can help you. And there's one who can ultimately help you, and that is Jesus Christ. Hard, because again, I leave my comfort zone to talk with this person who speaks differently or has different customs or looks differently or whatever. But that person is going into eternity, possibly without Christ. And Marlene and I heard a message from the founder of Youth with a Mission in August. We heard him live talk about eternity being a very long time. Has that grabbed us? That every person without Christ is going into an eternity that is forever and ever and ever. And it just helps us to realize maybe I can get out of my comfort zone a little bit and do what Jesus says we should do by faith, which is to treat everyone as our neighbor. That's scriptural, right? And literally, Hebrews talks about us being stranger lovers. But it's tough because, you know, we ask ourselves, what needs to change in our lives? Well, we need to change because God has said that we are his ambassadors. We are his kingdom members to advance his kingdom. He's sending us to tell people the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that's what we should be all about. There was a tremendous survey done, and this was about 2007 by George Barna, right? And you all are familiar with that name, all the Barna polls that are done. And in this survey, it is the most extensive survey ever done amongst Muslims and Americans. They interviewed 50,000 Muslims from 27 different countries. And then they interviewed 50,000 Americans, and they just basically asked two questions. They asked the Muslims, number one, what do you admire most about America? And their number one response was their technology. They admire most about us. Okay? And the second thing was their democracy. This is what Muslims admire about us. When they asked the 50,000 Americans, what do you admire most about Islam? The number one response was nothing. And the second most response was, I can't think of anything. When I read that survey, I thought, in a sense, that is what is wrong with us at this point in time, even among the Christian church and Islam. And reaching Muslims. And we wonder why we haven't reached Muslims. Well, we've already decided we're going to be one of these kinds of people out here rather than walking by faith and realize that these people need to hear about the real Jesus. And it was sad. It was really sad to think that that is the those are the number one responses we have when we think of Islam. Now, rightly so. And 9/11 changed a lot of things, didn't it? But still, we cannot let our circumstances outweigh what the Word of God says. We have to decide, I am going to believe God's Word. That is more powerful. I will be more happy doing the kingdom thing, what the Word of God says, rather than what my culture is dictating to me. Very, very hard news, but true. Now, I give this example. This was from the Star Tribune just 2.5 years ago. Muslims moving into the metro mainstream, just to show you something that's very interesting. There are 150,000 Muslims in Minneapolis right now, okay? Second, that number is second only to the number of Catholics in Minneapolis. 278,000 Catholics would be the biggest religious denomination. After that come Islam, Muslims. Third comes non-denominational churches, 93,000. Fourth comes Evangelical Lutherans, 86,000. And in 1995, there were 4 mosques, 20,000 Muslims. But today, again, we've got, according to that article 2.5 years ago, 118 mosques. I think it's 140 now. 118 mosques with over 150,000 Muslims. Now, I thought this was interesting, just this, you know, in our great Star Tribune, very liberal newspaper, that they nailed this as far as the statistics. But the question is, you know, this could scare people. I mean, look at this number, you know, almost double the other mainline denominations that we are concerned with. So the question is, Islam has come to America, what are we going to do? Again, are we going to act in the flesh, act in fear, or are we going to say, you know what, they've come to us, it's the reverse Great Commission. In a sense, we don't have to get into on a jet and go to them. I mean, Islam has come to America. Do we care? Do we think, what an opportunity? Now, they probably will not come to even your fellowship here on a Sunday morning, but that's okay. Because Jesus's model in going to people is very clearly, we need to have a go-to model. This is what Jesus said, you know, go and make disciples. He never said, build a building and expect people to come to us. His model is always to go, and to go with an identity of being a servant of all. That's, and by the way, that's the title that every one of us in this room gets when we enter his kingdom. You don't get a PhD after your name, You don't get MDiv after your name. You don't get some other title, except we all get the same title, and that is servant of all. That's what we are to be as we represent his kingdom. And then we go with a job description that Paul makes so beautifully here in his letter to the Ephesians. Be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That's what he's calling us to do and to be. And to this point, the Islamic world has not heard about the real Jesus. They just haven't. Let me tell one quick dream story. Ooh, I better stop, huh, Jerry? Yeah, let me hold that story, I'll just hold it. And we'll start with, when we start the forum, I'll tell you the most spectacular dream, series of three dreams that I have ever heard, personally, from one of the guys that we've been able to minister to. But just know that God is working in tremendous ways around the Islamic world. And we can be a part of it because they have come to us. Bishop Stephen Neal, an Anglican bishop, wrote a book, A Short History of Christian Missions, over 50 years ago. And he said this, our task is to go on saying to the Muslim with infinite patience, sir or ma'am, consider Jesus. We have no other message. It is not the case that the Muslim has seen Jesus of Nazareth and has rejected him. It is not the case that he has seen or she has seen Jesus of Nazareth and has rejected him. He or she has never seen him, and the veil of misunderstanding and prejudice is still over his face. That was said 50 years ago, and it is still true to this day. So we have a lot to do in prayer. God is moving in tremendous ways. Again, I'll talk a little bit more about that in the forum. But just know that if you have a Muslim friend in the office or in your neighborhood, whatever, reach out, because they will not have ever met someone like this. Amen.
Let's stand and sing the first verse only of our hymn number 559. Continue our worship through confession of our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. You'll find that on page 65. Together we confess, I believe in God.